If you have a Bible, you may like to turn to that passage in Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10, that speaks of the encounter between Jesus and Zacchaeus. We're going to look at that passage together this morning, but before we do so, let's pray and ask for God's help again. Father, we ask for your guidance as we look into your word. We thank you for this book. We thank you for the Holy Spirit who inspired it and who teaches us from it. And Lord, we pray as we look at it together this morning that he would be at work among us, taking your words and showing us their meaning, that we might understand them, that we might grasp them, that our hearts might be moved and our lives will be changed. We ask for Jesus' sake, for his glory and for his honor. Amen. I have three boys. I think I probably mentioned this before. I have twin boys who are 8, called Matthew and Nathan, and the youngest is Caleb. He is 6. My three boys love Lego. They went through about 2 years. Whenever you asked them, what do you want for Christmas and what do you want for your birthday, they would give you a long list, which was Lego, and then perhaps at the end there might be something different. They love playing with Lego, so I thought one day I'd sign them up to the Lego Club. So every 3 months they get a magazine sent from Lego with different things, different stories, different models they can make, and some puzzles and quizzes. More often than not, one of those puzzles or activities will be a spot the difference game, where if you know spot the difference, you'll know there's 2 pictures, but on the pictures there's several differences. Maybe there's a person with a hat on one side and the hat's missing on the other side. Maybe there's a Lego man with a hand on one side but he's got a hook on the other side. There's differences between the pictures. I want you to bear that in mind as we come to this passage. Luke chapter 19, verse 1 to 10, fits within a wider context. What's going on in that wider context? The question is being asked by Jesus, when he comes again, will he find faith on the earth? There's lots of things that go on in chapter 18 concerning the second coming of Jesus, and Jesus talks about that. But he says the real question is not how am I going to come, but do you believe in me? If you look at chapter 18, verse 8. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Now, faith today is one of those buzzwords that goes round our nation. There's several hundred, actually several thousand places around the UK that are called faith spaces. You'll see them in the airports or the train stations where people of all kinds of different faith can go and pray and meditate and do all kinds of different things belonging to their faith. Faith is a very generic term for anyone who believes in anything. But when Jesus uses the word faith, he doesn't mean it in that way. He means it in a very specific way. And all of these passages in Luke chapter 18, verse 9, through to chapter 19, verse 27, define the way that Jesus is using faith. Verse 9 to 14, it is humble faith of chapter 18. The tax collector who comes and acknowledges before God he deserves nothing good from God, just his judgment, but beats his breast and pleads for forgiveness. It is childlike faith, verses 15 to 17, where Jesus says, I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. It is exclusive faith as Jesus meets the rich young ruler who loves his money but says he loves God. Jesus says, no, it can't be like that. You have to love God and him entirely and completely. And nothing else must take his place in your life. It is evangelical faith in verse 31 to 34. Faith that is rooted in the cross of Jesus Christ. It is expectant faith as the blind beggar calls out for Jesus, knowing that Jesus just has to hear him and he will be healed. It is serving faith, 19 verse 11 to 27, as we see the parable of the 10 miners. And here in chapter 19, verse 1 to 10, it is life-changing faith. It is life-changing faith. As it were, we could summarize what God is saying through this chapter through that picture of a spot the difference activity. If you were to take somebody before they put their trust in Jesus and after they put their trust in Jesus, you should be able to see the difference. Because faith in Christ makes a difference in your life. When you become a Christian, you become a new person in the Lord Jesus. You have a new heart, one that loves him and wants to follow him. And therefore you will live a new life. Let's look at that as we come and see Zacchaeus and his encounter with Jesus Christ. We start off by seeing a crooked man. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. So we're told his name, and then we're told his occupation. He was a chief tax collector. Now let's not diminish what Luke is saying here. That is a shocking thing to reveal about this man. It tells us that Zacchaeus was a wicked and a despised man. The tax collectors in the day of Jesus, they didn't operate in the same way as they operate today, where they operated in the HMRC and they send you out to, or take your money off your payee slips, and they send you out maybe your self-assessment at the end of the year. They didn't operate in that way. They operated in ways like an extortionist would operate. They operated in ways like the mafia might operate. The way it worked was Rome sold the rights to levy taxes for a district to people who were called tax farmers. They paid a fixed sum, and then they had the right in their district to levy taxes. They then sold that right onwards to people who were called the chief tax collectors. And they employed several people under them who would go around and extort money out of the people in the district. They would always take more than they should have done. Kind of like a protection racket in a sense, because if they didn't pay, they got beaten up or hurt or something happened to their families. That's why I make that connection between Zacchaeus and a mafia boss. That's the sort of situation that he was in. He was a wicked, despised man. You're in reference to Luke chapter 18 and the rich young ruler and what Jesus said after meeting him, that it's harder for a rich man to come into the kingdom of God than for a camel to go through the eye of the needle. C.S. Lewis said that many people would like to have seen Zacchaeus pulled through that eye of a needle, literally. They hated him that much. I think it's important to grasp what Luke is revealing to us here, to understand what the Holy Spirit is saying. Here is a wicked man, and his wickedness is compounded as we look at the next thing. He was wealthy. How did he become wealthy? By robbing and stealing from others. But when we get that, we see that verse 5 is absolutely incredible. Because here is this wicked, despised man whose past is absolutely filled with treachery. There up a tree, and Jesus sees him, and what does he say? He doesn't say, "You're a wicked man." He doesn't say, "Zacchaeus, I know what you've done and I know where you live." He doesn't start laying into him. He doesn't despise him. In fact, he looks at him with care and with love and with grace and says, "Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house. I want to come to your house today. I want to spend time with you. I want to talk with you. I want to share with you. I want to tell you of the love of God for you." He doesn't despise him, he doesn't correct him, he loves him and he accepts him. Yesterday Mark and I were at the EMW conference. Sharon was there as well, sorry Sharon, just referring to that. We were at a conference and Stuart Olliott was speaking and he was talking about justification by faith. that great doctrine of the Bible, that we are made right with God through the death of Jesus and his resurrection, that he died for our sins and he rose for our justification. And he gave this picture, which I think is a remarkably good picture. He said, the door of justification is on street level. There is no need for to go up any steps before you can come to Jesus and be received by God. There's no need for any changes to be made in your life before you can come to Jesus and be received by God. And that's what we see with Zacchaeus. He didn't have to change yet. He did have to change later. We'll see that. Before Jesus would receive him and spend time with him. And the Bible is full of that incredible grace. I think of the Apostle Paul, when he wrote, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. Paul speaks of his past. There he was, off on the road to Damascus with one single purpose, to destroy Jesus and his church, to destroy the memory of Jesus. And Jesus met him, a man with that heart, met him, a man with that past, and met him, a man with that intention, and saved him in a wonderful way. I was reading the other week the testimony of a drug dealer who became a pastor. And he talks of his life in drugs, how he got involved in drug dealing and the things that he did. And then how he came to the Lord one night, but he backslid quite dramatically back into his past. And then another time God spoke to him through the word, and he says, I rededicated my life to God. I quit drugs for good and have been serving the Lord ever since. I used to run with gangs. Now I run with Jesus. I used to be a drug dealer. Now I'm a pastor for Christ. Isn't that grace? That God takes people where they are. He loves them where they are. He meets them where they are and then draws them in to his kingdom. And that's what we see here with Jesus and Zacchaeus. Jesus loves the unlovable and invites them to come to him to receive new life. He invites them to come to him to receive a changed life. It's not that Jesus said to Zacchaeus, what you're doing is fine, but I love you despite what you're doing, and I'm going to help you to change and to live for me. You know, as I read this, I'm reminded that today is a day of hope. Today is a day of hope. Because I don't know where you are. And I'm not suggesting this morning that in the view of society you are in the position that Zacchaeus was, where everybody despises you and everyone thinks that you're a wicked person. But you do have something in common with Zacchaeus. Every one of us has something in common with Zacchaeus, that we are sinners who disobeyed the law of God. But here's the hope, that even though we deserve God's judgment, he offers in the gospel, he offers his grace and his mercy and his love to every one of us, that Jesus came and died for our sin, that if we receive from him the gift of salvation, we will be forgiven and made right with God. And that offer is for every single one of us. And today's a day of hope too, because I don't know about you, but there are many people in my family, many people in my life that I pray for because they do not know Christ. And some of them are making a complete mess of their life. And you despair in some senses. How's it ever going to change? Well, they will never get to that point where they are beyond the grace and the mercy of God. There's a hope as we see Jesus meet with Zacchaeus. We see a crooked man. The second thing we see in this encounter is a curious man. A curious man. Look at verse 3 to 4. He wanted to see who Jesus was. But being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Well, there's a great place to start, isn't it? He wanted to see who Jesus was. He's inquisitive. We don't know the background of this. Maybe he's heard about the things that Jesus has done. Maybe he's even heard. Maybe he knows Matthew or Levi, the tax collector. Maybe there's a connection there, and he's heard about Levi quitting his tax booth and following Jesus. And he's saying to himself, who is this man that can make such a difference? He's an inquisitive man. He wants to see Jesus. And we see the depth of his curiosity by the extent that he will go to see Jesus. Look at it there. He's short. And so he stands in the crowd and he cannot see a thing. It's kind of like if you go to a football game and insist on sitting down the whole time because there's all seats. If you insist on sitting down, whenever the action occurs, everybody stands up and you cannot see a thing. So what do you have to do? You have to stand up and then look over the heads of the people in front of you. The problem was Zacchaeus couldn't stand up. He already was. So he couldn't see a thing. So he takes matters into his own hand. He runs ahead, something he would not normally do. And then he finds a sycamore fig tree, a tree with a strong trunk and low-lying branches. And he climbs up so that his head is above the crowd and he can look down upon the Lord Jesus Christ as he comes by. Here is someone who is intrigued and wants to know more. But look at the overwhelming response that Jesus gives him in verse 5. When he reached him, he said, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. I just want you to compare those two things. Zacchaeus wanted a glimpse of Jesus. Jesus gave him himself. Zacchaeus wanted to see the top of his head. Jesus gave him his heart. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus' face. Jesus shared his mind, his heart, his life with Zacchaeus as he went and ate with him that day. And it's even more incredible as we think where that encounter went to. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus. Jesus forgave Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus wanted to look. Jesus went and died for Zacchaeus. Jesus rose again for Zacchaeus. Jesus justified Zacchaeus. Jesus made it so that Zacchaeus was in the family of God. Jesus brought Zacchaeus into the kingdom of God. Jesus is holding Zacchaeus. Jesus will bring Zacchaeus into the new heavens and the new earth. Isn't it amazing how much more Jesus gives him than what he expected and what he was wanting? And isn't it incredible that that's always the way God deals with us? You know, I was thinking and reflecting on testimonies that I've heard from people of how they've come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it strikes me that for the majority of people, there's one thing that gets them. Different things for different people, that there's one thing that drives them to their knees that first time to cry out in repentance and faith before the Lord Jesus Christ. For some, maybe it's a deep conviction of their sin, an awareness of the wrongness of their life, and they want that conviction to be removed, and they want something to be poured in, that peace of heart to be poured in, so they come and cry out for forgiveness. For others, it's an awareness of hell, and the terrors of hell, and they want to be saved from that eternity and have a better eternity with Jesus. For others, it's a loneliness, and they realize that in Christ they can belong to the family of God and have a Father in heaven. But it tends to be just one thing that drives people. But as we ask for that one thing, and it's the same throughout the rest of the Christian life, we ask for that one thing, God gives us everything. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Jesus is so generous. If he just looked at Zacchaeus and said, look, take a look, he would have answered what Zacchaeus wanted. But he gave him so much more. He gave him salvation and an eternity with God. I wonder this morning, are you where Zacchaeus was? Are you here this morning with a curiosity, an inquisitive nature to see a little bit more about Jesus? Maybe you've heard about him. Maybe you have a friend or a family member who's come to faith in Jesus and there's a difference in your life and you're thinking, I'd like to know a little bit more about this person that makes such a difference in people's lives. Can I say that I'm glad you're here? Can I say it's great that you're here? Can I say it's great that you're asking that question? But can I also say that God offers you so much more than just a little insight into who Jesus is? God wants you to come and know Jesus as your Savior and Lord. God offers forgiveness in the gospel. God offers a way to be made right with God. God offers adoption into his family. God offers the kingdom of God for those who come to him. God offers eternity with Jesus. He has so much more that he wants to give. We see a crooked man, a curious man, and then thirdly, we see a changed man. Here's the change. Verse 7 and 8. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up. There's a time delay most likely here where Zacchaeus has met with Jesus. He has spoken with Jesus. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. What a change. From this greedy, self-concerned, wicked acting man to this generous man who gives half of all he has to the poor. There's a change there in his heart, isn't there? A heart that wants to grab to a heart that wants to give. And it's an extraordinary, generous action, isn't it? 50%, way more than anybody would ever have expected him to give. There he gives half of all his possessions to the poor. It is an extraordinary, generous action. So where's this change come from? We're not told what Jesus said. But as we read the Bible, we know what happened, or we know what would have occurred in his heart to make this change. He has received the love of God. He has recognized God's grace to him, a sinner. And as such, he has been transformed in his heart, and he is showing that grace and showing that love to others. John puts it like this, we love because God first loved us. Let me give you a picture which I think begins to kind of show what has taken place in Zacchaeus and takes place in anyone who comes to understand and realize the love of God. David Attenborough has been doing several programs over the recent years covering the planet Earth and showing animals that haven't been shown and situations that haven't been shown on television. His latest one, I think, is Africa. The one we have on DVD is called Planet Earth. And there's at one point there where they're talking about the grasslands of our world, and particularly the savanna plains. Now, the savanna plains get very dry and barren during the hot period, and there isn't much life and there isn't much water, and everything goes very barren. It goes very yellow. It goes very gray, and there's no life at all in the area. And then the rains fall. And they show this, the rain falling, and then the rivers starting to fill and come through the savannah. And they do it in fast frame to build up the effect. But what you basically see is the water flowing in, and almost immediately the life of the vegetation coming up. And within a week or two, it is filled with vegetation, it is filled with life, it is filled with animals. And that's the case here. The love of God flows in, and love and grace flows out. Without God's love, Zacchaeus was a hard, greedy man. Then he received the love of God, and he was completely transformed. As he put his faith in Jesus, it made a change in his life. We see a changed heart, and also we see a changed spirit. He has moved from being a proud man to being a repentant man. Look at where he goes. I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Now that again shows his generosity. If you go back to the Old Testament law, you could find proof for the fact that you ought to really be paying back 1 1/5 of the amount that you took, or somewhere around that region, but certainly not four times the amount you took. Here is a generous man. Why? Because he has realized what he did was wrong. He wants to leave it in the past and move on following Jesus. He's had a change of heart. He doesn't want to be that person anymore. He doesn't want any of that left around anymore. He wants to turn from his sin and follow Jesus. And you know, that turning is what Jesus calls us to do when he calls us to come to him. His message, as Jesus summarized it, was this: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. And to repent is to turn from sin and turn to God. Turn from the wrong things you're doing and turn to following Jesus and his ways. And here is a man who has done just that. His faith is a changing, life-transforming faith. Now at our church, I often ask the question from the front. As we get to a point in the sermon where it's appropriate, I often ask the question because I want us all to be challenged, because I think this is the key question that all of us can ask of ourselves. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christian? But I'm very aware that that is a difficult question to answer, because many people have a different idea of what a Christian is. If you go to the Oxford Dictionary, you'll see someone who acts like a Christian. Somebody who has been baptized in the church, or these kind of things. And lots of people can say that about their lives, but they aren't Christians because they haven't put their faith in Jesus. So let me ask it in a different way. Has there been a change in your life? Has there been a change in your life? A change when you've met Jesus and his love has poured in? A change where you've encountered the grace of Jesus Christ. You've realized he died for your sin. You've realized that through him you can be right with him. You put your faith in him. And you have a new heart and a new life. That change may have taken place over a period of time. It may have taken place in an instant. It's different for different people. But has there been a change? That change also will look different for the Apostle Paul. It meant going, breathing out murderous threats against the church, going to Damascus. It meant going to Damascus and preaching about Jesus Christ. There was a complete dramatic change for someone who has grown up in a church. Well, a lot of the things that you do in life will not be different, but certainly the reason you do them will. You did them to start off because it was expected of you, because your parents told you you had to, because you didn't want to look a fool in front of others. You do them now because you want to, because you love Jesus and you desire to know more of him and grow closer to him. Has there been a change in your life? Maybe as you answer that question, you say no. If that's the case, can I just offer the invitation of God? The invitation that God gives in his word to repent today, to realize that you're a sinner, Turn from your sin and put your trust in Jesus, knowing that if you do, you will be forgiven. You will be made right with God. You will have a new heart and a new life and a new eternity, one with Jesus forever and ever. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the precious, precious good news of Jesus, that sinners like us can be made right with the living God. And that, Lord, that makes a difference today in our life, that we can live it with you. And it makes a difference for eternity, where we have nothing to fear from the final judgment. For we are right with you. And we will be welcomed into the new heavens and the new earth with the Lord Jesus forever and ever. What a hope. What a prospect. Lord, sear these things into our hearts and our minds. Amen.